Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the brand new HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante. With me, Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. Mike, how we doing?
Oh, we're doing good. Just came off a week where we had Pro Day, and now we're leading into this week where we have spring ball is amongst us starting Tuesday. So excited. I know everybody and the fans are pretty excited to see, you know, what Coach Campbell and the staff and how they coach. And I know I am personally. So really excited about this week.
Very, very exciting time in college football. But I tell you what, I'd be negligent not to at least mention there's other sports going on. Penn State, another wrestling national championship. You start to assume that's what's going to happen every year, Mike.
I know, and it's just like the appreciation for this dominance. It's like it kind of gets swept under the rug a little bit because it's almost like normal. 13 out of the last 15. I know me personally, you know, we obviously didn't have anybody in the tournament, the March Madness, but Friday, Saturday, I was watching wrestling. Wrestling was, I mean, I feel like that meme with all the knives, you know, against the guy with the hot take. That's me, yeah. Because I think the wrestling matches were so much more entertaining than watching basketball. And I like basketball, but wrestling, those wrestling championships were awesome. And not just the Penn State ones, but, you know, they're basically in all of them. But even like the first round and the second round, those rounds were really cool watching that. It's just, it's really impressive because, I don't know, I have always liked wrestling. My son wrestles this year. I'm just like really in tune to it more, even more so now that I was before. So just seeing them, it's amazing. And you know what? I saw something this morning about Kale and the Oklahoma State coach not getting along, beefing a little bit. I think, and I don't even know all the background, but I think my first knee-jerk reaction is, oh, this is good. This is good for the sport, you know, for somebody for us to root against.
Well, what it is, though, is you've got a Penn State wrestler now coaching there. Yeah. And, you know, that could and he's doing a great job. That's creating a rivalry. What I saw is someone put out there, hey, what we need is like a home-and-home rivalry thing going on with those dual matches. And, well, you saw Penn State wrestling does some very smart things. The obvious thing is they win championships, okay? That's a great thing. But they set up for these large events where it's a, you know, Ohio State ranked number two. So you put that one into the bigger arena, Bryce Jordan, and it becomes an event, you know, it becomes something special. You know, it's kind of like the, when they did the hockey game at Beaver Stadium, it changes from a game to an event. Yeah. And wrestling has been able to do that. But here was the other thing with wrestling that I think needs to be pointed out. In college football, okay, the dynasty was Alabama for so many years. What Nick Saban did was just incredible. No matter what you think of him, of Alabama, it was an incredible dynasty. But when the sport changed, all of college sports changed, Nick Saban moved on. And I don't blame him for doing that because it essentially turned into a different sport with the NIL, the transfer portal. So what you have, my point being with Kale Sanderson, he did it before all of that. All that changed and he's still doing that. That to me may be the most incredible thing with that dynasty.
Yeah, and especially in a sport that's so competitive and it has gained even more popularity with the youth and just even from the time that I remember youth wrestling and going through the ranks to now with my own son who's 11, like there's so many more females too, which is awesome.
Yes.
And so many more kids and parents at these tournaments. It's awesome. Awesome. So to see that Kale and that sustainability that he's been able to do over time, I posted something over the weekend. It's just I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in my life or even heard of. Like you mentioned, Nick Saban's, like, that's a run, but still it's not 13 out of 15 and five in right. a row. And then on top of that, you know, it's just crazy that he's able to continue year in, year out, get these recruits and get them. There's no ups and downs. Like, so the thing that I posted was like, I didn't post this because I didn't know if I'd get attacked, but like, isn't it more like UCLA, like back in the day, like those times,
yes.
Celtics, like those times, like going all the way back where like nobody was beating the Celtics, you know, nobody was beating UCLA. Like, is that like, that's the only, I had to go all the way back to think about something like as a dynasty that resembles something that Kale's doing like he is right now.
I am so impressed that you brought up UCLA basketball, which was obviously before your time, but not before my time. That was kind of like the beginning of me following sports and recognizing it. Let me give you a quick UCLA story. Just I'm going sure. off topic like we normally do. But back at that time, well, two things. Number one, they outlawed dunking, okay? In college, you couldn't dunk. So they had Kareem, you know, like 3 feet above the rim and just dropping it in. But also, freshmen were not allowed to play. Okay? I don't know if you knew that.
I did not know that.
So Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who at the time was known as Lou Alcindor, him and his freshman class, so they had a freshman team that I don't think they played a full schedule. But anyway, so they have a scrimmage, the team that eventually won the national championship against their freshman squad. The freshman team won. Okay. That's how good they were that their freshman team beat their national championship team.
That's insane. Yeah. But I mean, what else? Like, to you, have you ever seen anything like this? A stretch of dominance like this?
Now, I think that was a great call on your part. UCLA, I think of as the most comparable. They had the most talent, first of all, but then they also played disciplined. It wasn't just, okay, we'll out-talent you. We'll also out-coach you, out-discipline you. All of those things that you could say about Kale Sanderson and his team. They have the most talent, but I've never heard anyone utter one negative word about Kale Sanderson and the work ethic of the staff, of the team. So they're not just the most talented. They're also the most disciplined, the best coach, all of those things. So that's why I think UCLA is a great comp, Mike.
Yeah. And what something that I caught when I was at Virginia Tech was Coach Roby, and for wrestling fans, that everybody knows that it's a respectable program. He does a really good job there. And I was coming, you know, talking about my experiences at Penn State and when I was there, Bo Nichols and all that. And he's like, Mike, people don't understand the conditioning of those guys. They don't get tired. It's like there's something between the coaches that I didn't understand was one of the advantages that he has a really good conditioning program, or he just knows how to get these guys mentally and physically in shape and able to outlast any of these guys. That Van Ness match on, was it Friday, was one of the best matches I've seen all year or in a long time, especially at the end when he was going back and forth. And then Van Ness gets a whole the guy's top of his head right in the smack dab in the middle of his face and didn't even faze him. Like,
yeah,
basketball player, he'd be in the hospital for 4 days if that happened. You know, but Van Ness didn't even faze him, and then he fought back and he outwilled him, and it was just awesome. Just awesome to watch that. It sucks that he ended up losing in the national championship game, but yeah, just awesome watching that. Like, for people who love March Madness and this time of year, wait till we get some teams in the tournament. And we also have to balance that with college football or college wrestling matches. It's going to be really fun. I just kept thinking about that. Man, imagine if the women's and men's basketball teams were in the tournament.
Oh, I'm with you. And love what Penn State wrestling does. I mean, sudden victory. That is so exciting when they go overtime in a match, okay, in wrestling. But I will say this, and I love basketball, college hoops. I know we talked about it, that you do too. There were a couple games over the weekend. I don't know if you saw the end to the Santa Clara Kentucky game.
No, oh, but I remember hearing Oway made me think about recruiting his brother.
Well, end of the game, Santa Clara, Cinderella, they make a three-pointer at the end of the game to go up three. Looks like a game winner. There's 2.5 seconds left. That's it. And Kentucky's got to go the length of the court. A player gets just past half court, launches a three, banks it in, goes to overtime. Absolutely just the emotional roller coaster, just incredible. And the other game that I have in mind, Nebraska and Vanderbilt, I believe it was. End of the game, Nebraska gets the late basket. Similar game, just a couple seconds left. They go up, Nebraska goes up 2 points. Vanderbilt launches from half court. I'll tell you what, Mike, that ball did everything but go in the hoop.
Oh, I remember seeing the highlight. Yeah. Bang, bang. And then it bounced out. Yeah.
And you could actually see some of the Nebraska players on the court are like, oh my God, no. When it comes out, it's not like a celebration. It's relief that the ball actually it didn't go into the hoop. And I was watching it live, and as you see it go up, you could see it's right online, okay? Even on TV, you could tell that. And I'm like, oh, my, not another one. But that is what – and maybe it's just statistically, you know, you have 64 teams, 32 games in the first round, and then so on and so on. Statistically, it's just, hey, you're going to get buzzer beaters. Maybe it's just statistical. Yeah. I don't know. I don't care. I love it, and I can't wait for Penn State hoops to be part of it again. It is just March Madness is just an incredible sporting event. All right,
especially these four days. Yeah, and I heard a funny thing about the Nebraska fans.
Well, I'll tell you what. Let's talk about it right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider. Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the brand new HVU Insider. I'm Jim Galante with Executive Director of Happy Valley United, Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number two of our show. Mike, in segment number one, we're talking about everything Penn State wrestling. We're talking about the basketball tournament. I was talking about some of those buzzer beaters. You were getting ready to tell us something about the Nebraska fans.
Well, no, I just remember hearing Chris Weber. He was talking in a pregame show, and he was talking about how at the hotel that he was staying at, he was getting up at like 6 a.m. to get his workout in before he had to go to the studio or whatever. And he's like, he saw the whole pool and lobby full of Nebraska fans just getting after it. He said, like, not just like hanging out, having a coffee. They were getting after it, drinking beers at 6 a.m, getting ready. So that part of the college March Madness is cool, right? a team, Nebraska, even though it's a Big Ten foe, you know, it's cool to see a team that's never made or never won a tournament game get in there and their fans support them and have fun with it, and then them actually win. That's cool. And this goes back to like when Penn State, and I think Mike Rhodes is close. You know, I know there's a lot of opinions out there on him right now, but you know, a lot of those games, if you watch them, we're in them. You know, it just might be a player or two or another year in the culture of Mike Rhodes. And then now we just hired a new basketball coach for women's basketball, which I know everybody's excited about. You can expect, you know, Pat Kraft is going to make it a point that he wants to get the basketball teams up to par with all the other sports. So, but like I said, I think Mike Rhodes is doing a good job. I don't know him personally, but I've been to a couple games, and it seems like they're there. They're close, right? And then now you got some new hope and momentum with a new coach, that a former player here for the women's basketball team. So a lot of good juice moving forward in the offseason, I think. And I'm sure Mike Rhodes will do some things with the roster to, you know, to hopefully get him over the hump.
Well, I got to interview Mike Rhodes a couple times, not in season, you know, the post game where you're talking about the game, but just general conversations. I think he's great. It's been a great experience talking to him. He comes from my neck of the woods, so, you know, it's like a similar background and upbringing. I like Mike Rhodes a lot, and I think in college basketball, you know, it's almost like there's two ways to build a team. One is the obvious, you see like Duke and teams like that, you know, those one and done players. Yeah. They bring in the very best talent, and then the team gets changed over every year, and they just, again, bring in another group of top talent. The other way is to build something, you know, put together a team that's been together for a couple years, and you see that in March, and you know, sometimes you wonder, how do these upsets happen? Oftentimes it's a smaller school, but with a veteran team, 3 and 4 year guys who've been around that long, taking on a very young, talented team, but they're all freshmen. So it's a bunch of 18 year olds playing a bunch of 22 year olds, and you see the difference. Anyway, this Penn State team is very, very young.
Yeah.
My hope is Mike Rhodes is able to keep them together.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, and eventually turn that around, that we should start to see, if you can keep that group together, we'll start to see that improvement next year and the following year, Mike.
Yeah, just add some pieces to that. But I tell you what, in building a roster now, you're hearing a lot of talks right now, especially today, about is the Cinderella, you know, dying? Because the Cinderellas are just getting picked, right? Like those guys, if they have a good year in those lower level schools, they're just going to get picked off by some of the big dogs, right? Like a Mike Rhodes, for example. Like Mike Rhodes could probably go. He's probably got his staff and Pira and the GM looking at all of these smaller FCS schools, who's dominated, player of the months, player of the years, all of that, and trying to pick off one of them. And if they make sense in the current roster that he has, you add one or two guys like that, that makes sense. It could really help your team, but that hurts that potential Cinderella team, right? And that coach at that lower level, now he lost like a 2-3 year starter to go to Kentucky or Penn State or wherever, you know? So that's an interesting conversation that I've heard the past couple of days, and it's catching some steam nationally as far as the Cinderella. But I don't know. I think it's a little knee jerk. I'd be interested to see what it looks like in 2-3 years.
Well, I'm kind of scanning my bracket, because I don't think there's really a problem. If you think there's no such thing as Cinderella anymore, tell that to High Point. Okay.
Yeah, I thought
who the hell is High Point?
I thought that was like a TV show, like a high mountain. There was like this fake college. I forget, it was a comedy. When you look at High Point, like High Point, where the heck is High Point? And you just think that, but they were fun to watch. They were really fun. I was rooting for them. That point guard Martin, he was unstoppable. Unstoppable.
And they gave Arkansas a battle also.
Oh, they did.
Like I said, Santa Clara probably should have beaten Kentucky. I don't know if you saw any of St. Louis play, and they were very competitive. You got to fall in love with their center, who's this big guy. If he weren't like 6'10 or whatever, you'd say the last thing in the world is you'd think he's an athlete, but he's launching threes, just a lot of fun to watch. So I understand that, yes, the mid-majors and the smaller schools, they're getting picked off with their top talent. But I think also in basketball, there's something to be said for a group of players who play as a team, that teamwork, where they are much better as a whole than they are as individual talent. So you're not necessarily going to get the big dogs picking away at them, because there's nobody on that other team who's talented enough to make, you know, the bigger team. But they just play the game correctly. They move the ball well. Nebraska is actually a pretty good example of it. They were not supposed to be a top 10 team. But if you watch them play, they really do a great job distributing the ball, moving it, the ball around. And my personal opinion is that's one of the most undervalued parts of the game is passing the ball, moving it around.
Oh yeah.
And I know, you know, like the isolation game is so much a part of the NBA, especially.
Isolation, yeah. Yeah.
You know, put four guys on one side of the court and allow your best player to go one-on-one. And I don't like that style of hoops. Give me that team who has multiple guys who could score, but it's based on, you know, moving the ball around.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was talking just reminiscing, ran into a West Virginia fan and, you know, start talking. We were at West Virginia around the same time. And we got talking this weekend about when we were there, the Pitsnoggle days, when we made the Elite Eight. I'll never forget that, because it was such a big thing at our school at that time. And I remember we were able to actually go out and enjoy it because we didn't have anything going on at that time. And I remember all the couches burning, but also remember like people getting in trouble trying to burn down like apartment complexes and stuff like that. Just remind me every time March Madness comes up, I always remember that year that I thought Morgantown was going to burn down.
And the pride of West Virginia, Mike Villagran is sharing that.
There you go.
I have zero to add to that. I really do. But to your initial point, how much fun is it, though, if your team is in the March Madness, in the tournament? It's pretty special.
It's the best. You know, it's just, and as the college football playoffs expand, I think you're going to get a similar feel, because more teams are going to be involved, more teams are going to be in there, which I think is good for college football. But yeah, when your team's in there, you know, it's just something special about it. Especially like if like your wife and your family, y'all are, you know, rooting for the same team. It's awesome. It's awesome. That's why this is special, right? Somebody said it perfectly on the radio this past week. Was like, this is just a time. Like, it doesn't matter if you haven't watched college basketball. You just see that logo, and if you have any kind of resemblance of any kind of connection to that school, you're rooting for them, right? And you have a bracket, and usually it's the person that doesn't know anything about basketball that wins, bracket, right? So, and then everybody's talking. It's such a good time. These first 4 days, now it gets dragged out a little bit after this weekend, in my opinion, but these first 4 days are awesome.
Well, my theory, and I think I put this out before, the first round where Thursday and Friday, it's just wall to wall hoops. Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon should be national holidays. You should not be required to work Thursday afternoon and Friday afternoon of the first round of the tournament. That's my take, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. And what if you actually have, so I thought about this, what if it's Thursday and you actually have something that you have to call off? Like, that is tough. That's like a Seinfeld or Curb Your Enthusiasm situation, because you don't really want to do that, because what's your boss going to think? Okay, he has an emergency something on, yes. on Thursday, and he was the one that started the company bracket pool. No, that would be tough if something actually does come up on the Thursday or Friday, especially because it warms up too, Jim. A lot of people on the blue course yesterday. A lot of people.
Well, you know, here's the thing with that, Mike, is, first of all, if you're the employee, you know you don't schedule anything. And if you're the boss, the manager, do not schedule anything for then. You got to know that. And I know now, you know, the world is quite different. Not very many people, it seems, have the 9-to-5 job where they have to report to an office every day. Yeah. But back when you did, you know, it was just... And it was kind of an office thing too. You know, oftentimes we would work in the morning, Mike, and then it's like, hey guys, close to noon, how about we hit, you know, such and such bar for lunch? And that lunch turns into a 3 or 4 hour lunch. It's just the way it works. You call it a team meeting.
Yep.
But you've got to be in front of the TV, or multiple TVs is best, Mike. That's the way to do it. Yeah. All right. I'll tell you what. Crazy thought. When we come back, how about we talk a little bit about Penn State football? We're going to do that right after this break.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform, providing exclusive recruiting intel. The first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike B and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the new HVU Insider. I am Jim Galante, along with Happy Valley United Executive Director Mike Villagrana. It's quarter number 3 of our show. Mike, I keep mentioning at the start of each segment, we're brought to you by HVU Insider. How about just giving our listeners a quick overview what HVU Insider is all about? Because it's really exciting stuff.
Yeah, it's just a new platform that the collective, Happy Valley United, initiative that we started a long time ago when I got here. For people that don't know, I've been here a little bit over a year now, and you know, we've gone through a ton of different changes that can be confusing to a lot of people, what the collective is, NIL, all of that. Specifically us now in the entire NIL ecosystem within Penn State, I believe we're in a good spot to really capitalize on this platform. It's going to be recruiting. It's going to be gamification. When I mean gamification, there's always going to be sweepstakes on there, right? So you go on there and you can enter in these sweepstakes by getting points. How do you get points? You just sign up, right? It's free. You just sign up, you enter your name, your email, and you get like 5 points. Now, if there's a sweepstakes up there like there was for the pro day, you could have entered for a pro day sweepstakes with me, came and hung out with me, meet some people, take some pics, get some gear, get some swag, and have a good day. But in order to enter in that, you use your 5 points that you registered and you signed up on, and you put in some entries in with those 5 points. If you wanted more entries to get a better chance to win that sweepstakes, you just read an article, go on the message board, or try a trivia or something like that. And then you get more points, and then you can enter more to get a better chance to win the sweepstakes. And for the sweepstakes, moving forward, because we just had our first one for Pro Day, which was awesome. Lou and his son Isaiah from North Philly came and we hung out with them. I hooked them up with some gear, got some pictures. Funny enough, Lou was a big fan of Omar Easy back in the day when he played, and Omar Easy was there, and we ran into him. Of all the people, it was like one of his guys.
Yeah. So that's great.
It was good. And his son was like a little man, probably 8-9 years old, just living his best life. So it was awesome. But that's what the platform is able to provide, is is fan experiences like that. And, you know, it's all free. So you go on there. I'm kind of driving it, which, you know, from a recruiting standpoint, just from my relationships and my position with the team and with my relationship with the current staff and front office, I'm privy to a lot of good information that I want to be able to talk and interact with people. Very similar to 247 or On3, how they interact. But I kind of want to be able to interact, you know, more, always consistently. And so we're going to be consistently bringing out, you know, who we're targeting. We're laying that out. It's kind of slow roll getting that process out. But that will continue to that will never stop. It's evergreen. And then we'll also have a ton of interviews. We'll have some spring ball information coming up. I'll be giving my updates. Here's the thing, Jim. The big thing is I just want to have fun with it. It's all interactions. We want signups. And that's what I'm there for. We talk about it all the time. You know, everything that I say, it's just in my opinion. You know, I think you know me. I'm not a guy that says anything that I say is the word. Like I just like having fun talking about what I think from my past experiences. Then, you know, now we have a whole new team. I'll be able to kind of player comp a lot of these guys to the guys that that I remember recruiting from the 15 to 17 era, or even, you know, even when I, you know, went off to Mississippi State and some other places. But yeah, so the platform, we'll keep rolling it out. We have some shows that we're going to be starting here. Jim, you're probably going to talk about it, but I'm really looking forward to that show starting this week. But yeah, it's fun right now for me in this position. And this whole year has been kind of crazy for me, and going through not just the change of NIL, then throw a coaching change on top of that. Right. It's been a heck of a year to get to this point, but I'm glad we made it through and we're here because it's really exciting what we're doing.
Well, I'll tell you what, because Mike's too modest to say it, I will say it for him. Mike talked about comparing to other places where they'll talk about recruiting and so on. The difference is Mike has lived it. He's been part of the recruiting world. He's done it. He's been on different collegiate staffs. He was at Virginia Tech, at Mississippi State with Joe Moorhead. And so he knows. And I can just tell you from personal experience, as an example, before anybody else even knew who Chas Coleman was, Mike was telling me, hey, look out for this guy. And sure enough, and he's talked about every time Mike has told me about a player where, you know, kind of that unknown guy, Mike says, Jim, look out for this guy. Well, I would look out for him. And he was right every time. So that's what you get with Mike. You get his expertise.
I've also been wrong a lot. That's the thing, too. That's the thing. I've worked with guys. One of my good friends, Matt Wilson, who's the GM at Indiana. We work together at Mississippi State. He loves, and I always give him crap about it, loves talking about all the guys that he was right on. But he never talks about the guys he's wrong on. But and I always like to mess with guys who always like to talk about, oh, well, I recruited Michael Parsons. Yeah, what about that bum that you stood up on the table for that didn't even finish his career? You know, like that's the fun stuff with evaluations. Nobody's always right, but yeah, it's been fun, my career and the evaluation part, learning from a lot of different people. But obviously my time here at Penn State was critical for me, when it came to evaluation.
Well, I tell you what's funny is you're right, Mike. And before we started recording, we were having a conversation. What story did I tell you? One that I was right. Now, I had to go back about 8 years for it, but that's the one story I tell you. I don't tell you the stories when I was wrong. But also, you alluded to, and I do want to mention this, that we are going to start doing some live shows together. Well, first of all, on our show itself, we are going to be doing some recruiting things. We're going to get Mike's expertise, talk about some of the players that Penn State is recruiting. We're going to be doing some videos with them, so you'll be able to see some of those players' high school highlights. That's going to be a lot of fun. Mike provides tremendous background on that information. But we're also going to start doing some live shows in State College, and we're going to be doing those at Pine Grove Hall, where we're going to have access to players, coaches, other members of the staff, and you'll be able to attend these, mingle with the coaches and the players, get to know them a little bit, get introduced to them. Myself, Mike, and Chris Buchanani will be hosting the event, so we'll be doing some interviews with the guests, and we are actually going to have our first event this Wednesday, Mike, at Pine Grove Hall at 6 o'clock. Open to anyone if you want to come in. I don't think we've decided which players are going to be there yet, Mike, have we?
No, not yet. And then as we get things rolling, we'll be able to promote the players that are going to be there ahead of time. But for this one, we're kind of on the run. But, yeah, we'll have about two to three players there to be able to come up. And then Jim and Chris will be able to kind of talk to those guys and ask them some things. And I think what's exciting is some of these transfers and these veteran guys that Jim, you, and Chris are going to be able to talk to, because a lot of people haven't talked to them. And obviously you guys do a great job opening these guys up, but a lot of these transfers and these veterans, you know, they're good people. They're going to be fun to talk to, and you guys always do a great job interviewing them.
Well, that's the thing. It's, we want to try to get to know the players, know the people, and it's fascinating. I've learned over these last few years doing similar kind of events and doing it across the board, not just with football, with the other sports, is getting to know the student athletes. And you find out, you know, they're not just the player on the field. And I know, especially with NIL going on, it may feel like that distances the fans from the players even more. But when you get to know them a little bit, I walk away saying, you know what? They're still just 19 and 20-year-old kids that no different than the kids in your neighborhood. They just happen to be very talented athletically. But there's a lot of them who will really make you proud to be a Penn Stater. But yeah, the first event is this Wednesday at Pine Grove Hall. That's where we're going to be holding these. I haven't been over there yet, Mike, but I'm hearing some great stuff about Pine Grove Hall.
Yeah, so my kids go to school right out there, and I remember passing it all the time when I did take them to school. And it's awesome. It's really cool. It's like this old, it's like a older looking style house that they turn into like a restaurant, two-story restaurant. And you go in there, like a real long, like kind of like fancy-ish looking bar-ish type, and then like the dining area. And then you have this stage that is like, it's like a professional stage. And like, I was like blown away when they were going through it with me. Like it is like, I don't know what to compare it to, but like, if there was like a huge concert, like all this gear, the wires, the lights, the cameras, they got it all, which is really neat. And then the owners, they're just really good people in the community, been here forever. And, former musicians, and so, you know, this is kind of something that they wanted to do, and they love it, and they've been awesome to deal with. So yeah, come on out Wednesdays or this Wednesday and see us. I'm looking forward to it. I'll be mingling in the crowd when I'm not talking with Jim and Chris, so I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. It'll be a lot of fun. And again, having been to these kind of events, it's really great atmosphere. You know, you get to mingle with the players in a nice environment, maybe get a picture taken, that kind of thing. It's a lot of fun. Have a nice meal, have a drink. It's a nice environment. And, you know, I've worked now. We've done a couple things together with Mike and with Chris. And it's a lot of fun working with those guys too. So that's always a lot of fun. So I'm looking forward to it. I just spoke to Chris yesterday about it, and he's excited also. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Mike mentioned we're going to get the names out. I'll put it out on my social media and, you know, at KeystonesportsNetwork.com. We'll put out stuff, let you know who's going to be there for this Wednesday at this first event. And we're going to be doing a lot of these style events. throughout the summer. Okay, that is it for quarter number three. When we come back, Mike started the show telling us about Pro Day. I've got lots of questions about Pro Day, Mike. We're going to do that when we come back.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V and powered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free. Welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Happy Valley United, the NIL collective that serves all 31 sports and over 850 student-athletes at Penn State. For more info, go to happyvalleyunited.com.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the brand new HVU Insider. That's the place to go for a lot of inside information, provided mostly by our guest today, Mike Villagrana, Executive Director of HVU. What a great background in recruiting. He knows how to recruit. He knows how to scout, knows all of that. And he's going to share that wisdom with all of us with HVU Insider. And don't forget, this Wednesday, 6 p.m., Pine Grove Hall. Mike will be out there, Chris Buchanani, myself, and a few players also, for a chance for you to meet. We'll be announcing who those players are. All right, Mike, we've teased it from the start of the show, but Pro Day was last week. I didn't make it this year. I was there last year. It's a lot of fun. It's an interesting environment, but it's also a big, big day for the Penn State players who are getting set to move on, hopefully, to the NFL. Just how important is this day for the players, Mike?
Just in general, it's a very important day for them. But for each player, it depends. Depending on their current stock, what they've already done. Obviously, if they had been in the combine, how did their stock change based on their performance with the combine? Or if they weren't in the combine, do they need to compete in everything versus if they were already in the combine, did they already, you know, run a good 40, so they don't have to run a 40 in pro day? There's just a lot of things that goes into these decisions to what they do and don't do in pro days, because it is that important, right? If if Katron runs a 40 and it's not that great, that could really hurt his draft stock. So things like that, why you don't see some guys run 40s versus guys do running 40s. It's just everything's very calculated, right? These guys have entire teams now of an agent, and that agent has an entire team to take care of all of these kind of different decisions. So much so that it kind of you see some things that makes you kind of your head turn and scratch your head a little bit and think, why did they do that? Because they have so many people sometimes that they overthink things, right? Like, you can look at the Peterson kid at Kansas, right? Like, totally different, but, like, that's a number one draft pick. He's got all these people around him telling him that, dude, he should only play this amount and this amount, protect this, protect that. These guys have the same type of people in their ear about, you know, their draft stock and how they can, you know, help that. But, I thought a lot of guys helped themselves at this pro day. Most of them came in, you know, looked like Hercules. Like I said last week, a lot of these guys, they go off and they get in the best shape of their lives, right? They're usually somewhere like in Florida or somewhere remote where there's no more students, there's no more social life. Every second of their day is calculated, from nutrition to exercise to rehab. So these guys came in looking really good, all of them.
Well, and also, I think fans have to understand these are business decisions being made. And, you know, I've heard people saying, well, why didn't they work out like that before, you know, the season or before playing at Penn State? Well, there's a difference between training to be a good football team and training to the combine. You know, it's like studying for the test as opposed to studying the topic. You know, how do you make your 40 time better? How do you make your shuttle time better? How do you do, you know, how many reps you could do? That's what it's about. And it's a huge business decision for these guys. You know, the example, Vega Ioane, we know is going to be a first round draft pick. So in that situation, he doesn't need to risk much. But we can't talk about an event like Pro Day or the Combine without talking about Drew Aller, who I can't recall another player who's had so many different takes on him. Great, not so great, this, that, so many opinions. How important is a Pro Day event for Drew Aller, for example, and how did he do?
It's huge for the quarterback, right? And especially specifically for somebody like Drew in a position like he's in. It's a different kind of position that, honestly, most quarterbacks coming out of their senior year, you don't want to be in. Coming out late in the season, injuring, breaking his ankle, you know, now he has to rehab that on top of trying to get ready for the combine / pro day. You know, he's been heavily criticized, good or bad, throughout his career. And he's a guy that came back who was QB2 in the 2025 draft, you know, to a lot of people. So, you know, he's got a lot on the line, I think. But that being said, the first thing I thought when I saw Drew in person was, wow, he looks good. He trimmed up a little bit. He always has like kind of this softness, like physical look to him, where it's like, dang, he still has like so much room to grow on already a big frame, but I don't know if that's ever going to be him. But he did, like, some of that baby fat that he had, you know, it looked trimmed up more. He looked good physically. He looked good, definitely. And then, you know, he went in there. He had, I think, the four or five guys plus Katron at running back on some of those quarterback, you know, those the passing drills. He did really good. All that stuff is scripted. So they should look good. Right. If you don't look good in that, you're just going to get crushed, especially on social media these days. You know, you got all the experts out there. I think I saw something was on social media about, it was an out route. It was like a 10-yard out route to Kyren Hudson. And, you know, and it was a dot. It was a really good throw. But gosh, you see all the different opinions about that wasn't a good throw. How's that a good throw versus, you know, this guy? In a quarterback training for 15 years, I can throw a ball half a mile. You know, that is a good, like, all that. Like, that's a pain. You gotta like take that out of your opinion when you're trying to establish your own opinion about Drew. But I thought he did really good. You know, his quarterback trainer was out there. He did everything he needed to do. All he did was throw. He didn't do any testing. Doesn't need to. But yeah, he's got the arm. He's got all the tools. It's just, I think it's the mental thing. Based on what I talk to a lot of those guys that I know from being a pro liaison at other schools, you know, just talking to them, I'd ask them, all right, what are you guys thinking about Drew or some of the other guys? And, you know, it's a mixed bag with Drew. It depends who you talk to. You know, some think he could slide into the second. Some think, you know, they'd be surprised if he's not gone by the fourth, right? Like, it's all over. It's all over the place. He's a really interesting guy when it comes to this draft. Not just because he's a Penn Stater, but generally, like, I think there's 32 GMs that are like really trying to figure out Drew.
And all it takes is one of them to fall in love with him. And I think this year, where there aren't a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of good quarterbacks, you know, someone can look at him. And he's got the size, he's got the arm. If you've seen, he's got the arm talent, it is there, you know, and it's just can he handle the rest of the game?
Yeah, and he has, you know, he has the celebrity, like, look, I guess, or the, you know, the markability. Like, I think teams, they definitely want that when it comes to your quarterback. Drew has that. He's a good-looking kid, tall, big kid, articulate, he has everything. I think what is going to be interesting for Drew, and I think it's fair to all quarterbacks, is like, what system do they go into? Do they have an offensive line? Like, I don't care if Joe Montana's back there. If they don't have an offensive line, he's not going to be able to produce or grow or develop. Look at the Jets. Anybody that goes into the Jets organization, you could say they're going to regress in their development. They're still young and developing, right? They're developing from a college program and a system to an NFL system. That you're going to a PhD level now. So, like, you have to be able to continue to develop. But if you are getting sacked and you're not able to, you know, set up in the pocket consistently, you're not going to develop. So I hope Drew, no matter where he goes, it's a good setup. Like Mendoza, I don't care what people think of Mendoza. Mendoza is going to get crushed if he gets drafted by the Raiders, because I don't think their offensive line is that good. Or look at our man that went to the Vikings, our little guy from Arizona. I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Oh, geez. We're going to do that again, aren't we?
Yeah, but look, he has a bad rap for getting out of the pocket.
Murray, right?
Yeah. Kyle Murray. Well, if you look at a lot of those, the highlights of him scrambling, it's because he's getting rushed. He doesn't have a pocket. But, yeah, I'm going to be interested to see where Drew lands. I hope he lands somewhere where he can be a backup for 1-2 years, and then, you know, maybe end up becoming like a Malik Willis type, you know, be a backup for a little bit and then get paid out. That's not a bad way to go. But it was cool seeing like Liam Clifford there too as well, who has a lot to compete for, just because he just didn't have that many balls this year, obviously. But he's very athletic, so he's very intriguing to a lot of organizations. Katron, Nick, Dom, DeLuca had a really good workout. My favorite, by far, it's not even close, was Deny. I think Deny has the most upside from an NFL standpoint this entire group, and I don't think it's even close. That's my opinion. I'll die on the sword on that. But even talking to him this past week, like, he just seems so much more comfortable. He seems like loose. He seems very confident. Like, and not only that, like because he's a very like black and white kid, like he seemed more comfortable. And like, I could see him talking to GMs and organizations and people absolutely loving him, because you look at him, how he looks right now. I think he's like, was he like 260, 261. He looks beautiful, how you want that premier position to look in the NFL. And not only that, his three cone was 6.90. You know who had 6.90? Trevor Peña. He tied with Trevor Peña for the best three cone. Three cone and those drills with the bags, he's elite. His hips and his dip is elite.
I'll tell you the thing, and I think there should be value put on this too. When so many guys sat out the bowl game, this is a guy who's a baller. He said, I want to play football. And he played in the bowl game and played really well. All right. Hey, that's going to have to be it, Mike. Thank you. Thank all of you for joining in. Make sure you join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show.
Welcome to the new HVU Insider, Penn State football's fan scouting platform providing exclusive recruiting intel, the first of its kind platform giving Penn State fans an inside look at how the Nittany Lions identify, evaluate, and recruit the next generation of talent. Led by Mike V, empowered by Penn State students, it's a new era of Penn State football under Coach Matt Campbell. You can sign up at happyvalleyunited.com. It's fast and free.